for being here. As an introduction to the entire topic, I have a penchant for talking about things that nobody else wants to talk about very much, and this is one of them. Seemingly unrelated regression models as a generalized least square solution to path analytic models. I know it's a catchy title. Everybody probably should remember that immediately. This actually all started when I was working on a way of simulating non-normal correlated data for simulation studies. I do a lot of simulation studies, but I'm also an applied statistician that works with a lot of different types of people. And in my field, I noticed that people create these models in various different disciplines, and we don't use them in other scenarios, in other research situations. And here's something that's come up, because I tell my students, you know, you leave with a PhD in statistics, and there's still holes in your knowledge, or things you don't know. And, for example, seemingly unrelated regression is something I didn't know about until a few years ago. I was working with Todd Hedrick on how to generate non-normal correlated data, and he was saying, well, if you're going to tell people they need to simulate data this way, you need to have some applications. And he was trained in econometrics and said, well, of course, seemingly unrelated regression. And I said, what on earth is that? So I had to do some research on it, find out what it was, and lo and behold, it is actually kind of a neat thing. But I'm going to go through a couple of things before we get to it. And let's see, that's the forward button. No, that's the forward button. First of all, multivariate regression is of the same form as your basic multiple linear regression, except y is a matrix of p-dependent variables, and x is your k-dimensional design matrix, and we assume the error term is normally distributed as usual. And multivariate regression, if you use ordinary least squares, assumes that all of these beta coefficients, these regression coefficients in the model, are unknown and they need to be estimated from the data. And really the only difference between a multivariate regression and your, at least conceptually, and your standard linear regression with one dependent variable is that y, it's a matrix now, it's not a vector. I wish I had a laser pointer, it came out of my eyes, I'd show it to you right now. But it does allow for multivariate hypothesis testing, general linear hypothesis testing, and really it only differs from multiple linear regression when you actually try to do a multivariate hypothesis. Otherwise, the ones and zeros kind of cancel everything out. And so the dependency among the y's really only comes out when you do a multivariate test. So Todd had introduced what are called SIR models to me. They were created in 1962 by Zellner, who is an economist, or an econometrician, actually. And it has to do with there being p-correlated regression equations. And this has also been referred to in some of the, I think, epidemiology research as the multiple design multivariate model. The term seemingly unrelated, statisticians are great with coming up these terms that are just, you know, catchy, is that these equations are seemingly unrelated because they're taken separately and the terms would follow some standard OLS model. What differs, however, from a multiple univariate regression is something I'll talk about in a second. I do want to point out that in applications, I do this thing up at the top all the time, multiple univariate regressions. I sit in the office with someone and they say, well, can we regress Y1 on this set of variables? And can we regress Y2 on this set of variables? And then 7 hours later, we've done 300 statistical models and never even thought of the fact that these Ys, these different dependent variables, are correlated to each other. So it's a very common practice. I can't say that I haven't done it. If I were a tried and true statistician, I'd say, you know, we've been sitting here for 7 hours and you divide the number of tests by 7 hours. That's the Bonferroni correction, right? You correct for the number of tests. And the problem with the Bonferroni or the Dunn-Sidak or any of those type of multiple testing corrections is it doesn't account for the correlations among the hypotheses that are being tested. So in doing these multiple univariate regressions, you will ignore the correlation among the errors across these equations. However, the SIR model takes in this idea that the design matrix, that the dependent variables are correlated, and the design matrices may contain some of the same variables, and I'll bring that point out in a second, and that creates what's called a contemporaneous correlation. Again, another catchy term that we use a lot. From my perspective, the SIR model, because it involves multiple correlated dependent variables, is quite underutilized. From my perspective, if you have correlated dependent variables, and you can use this as a multivariate model building approach, you might start with the same design matrix for each one of the Y variables. Multivariate regression requires that. You assume that the X's are the same for every dependent variable. But through some process like backward elimination, you might end up with different design matrices for each one of the dependent variables. And it has the advantage in the sense that the coefficients, but especially the standard errors, take into account that there's a correlation among the dependent variables that are in these different models. So, these are applied when there are several equations. They appear to be unrelated. You know, I think Y1 and Y2 are separate entities, but there probably is some correlation. And they're probably correlated by the fact that some coefficients might be the same for the various x variables, or they may be assumed to be zero. Sometimes by default, when we regress y on x1 and x2 and x3, and we regress y2 on x1 and x3 and x4, we're doing the same thing. We're just assuming that coefficient for x2 is zero because we didn't include it in the model. And so this is a way of directly doing that. The disturbances are correlated across the equations. That means we have correlated errors because we have correlated dependent variables. And the fact that if I do a regression of y1 on x1 and x2, and I do a regression model of y on x2 and x3, they have some of the same variables in their design matrices. They're using some of the same right-hand side of the equation variables. So once someone had told me about this, I thought, well, this is great. I can simultaneously do all these regressions and allow for the fact that I can have different design matrices for each one of the dependent variables. And matter of fact, once I started reading Zellner's original article and reading other applications of it, this model allows for both the Y and X matrices. The idea that something that's a Y variable in one model could be a predictor variable in another model. Of course, with my training, I immediately thought of path analysis. So I was going to show that. So one of my ideas was, this is something that people actually do. I know they do it a lot in health behavior and other fields related to public health. People do path analyses. This is a way of showing the seemingly unrelated regression model in a context that people, or I assume many people, understand. So this is something I've run into quite a bit. I've run into this idea that somebody has done a regression. I've helped them figure out something where they have a Y variable and they've regressed it on this set of X variables, and then in some other model they took some of those X variables and that same Y variable we were just working on and used that as a set of predictors. So one of my questions, and it's something that's certainly an empirical question or would involve some theoretical work, is whether we could actually use SIR models as some kind of model building approach for lack of a better term, exploratory path analysis. So now we're going to get into the good stuff right here. How do you do one of these SIR models? Well, that's how you do it. It's actually not that bad of an idea. Unlike the multivariate regression where we have X prime X inverse X prime Y, and Y is just a matrix of Y variables, here we stack the Y variables on top of each other. It's called a vectorized solution. And what that allows is you take Y1, it's a vector, it goes from 1 to N, and then you stack Y2 underneath it and Y3. You vectorize that. It's stacking like you would see in the univariate approach to the repeated measures, or as you see in mixed models. And then you have this big D, that's what I came up with, for design matrix. And then X1, you have a block diagonal type of matrix here, where on this diagonal you have X1, that's the design matrix for the first model. And then X2 is the design matrix for the second dependent variable, and so forth. There are zeros on the off diagonal, and this is a symmetric matrix. So you have a total number of parameters here. You have P predictor variables for each one of the models, and you sum that across the number of models you have, and then we just say we're trying to estimate M parameters. How do you solve this? And this is one of the things I always thought was really interesting right here. Again, we solve for all these equations simultaneously, and it uses the same form that we've seen before in ordinary least squares, except we jam that matrix in the middle as we do in weighted or generalized least squares, and that matrix is called the Q matrix. And it's just a weight matrix based on the residual covariance matrix of the Y. So basically, we're sticking a correlation matrix in between the two design matrices there, in between the D design matrix and the Y. So it's like generalized least squares. It's a residual covariance matrix. So basically what we mean is we're removing the effects of all the X variables and really trying to get a correlation among the error terms, not necessarily the correlation among the Y variables. So, I thought I'd think about how could I show people how to do this. I thought, well, path analysis would be a very good way of talking about this. Here's a basic path model. Y1 would be our terminal variable. Y2 and Y3 would be called our endogenous variables. Those of you who are familiar with that terminology. And then X1 through X3 are what are called our exogenous variables. There are three direct effects on our terminal variable. Y1 directly relates to it. Y3 also does. And X2 is the only exogenous variable that really that relates to the terminal variable. We also have X1 through X3 having direct effects on these endogenous variables, Y2 and Y3. The SIR model at the bottom, I hope that's legible, can be seen. Here for the design matrix for Y1 would be, it's some function of Y2 and a function of Y3. X1 is zeroed out in that sense. It's in there. It's in that big SIR model somewhere. Zeroed out, though. And it's also a function of X2, and X3 is also zeroed out. For our endogenous variable for Y2, it's a function of X1 and X2. Oh, and I didn't. It is not a function of X3. I think I did that so the model would look better. It would be cleaner on the... But even in the endogenous variables, we've kind of zeroed that out. And then for Y3, it's a function of X1. Excuse me, it's not a function of X1. That's zeroed out. It's a function of X2 and of X3. The point here is you can see X2 being an important variable in this path model. It has both direct effects and indirect effects. So let's get to our next one here. Here's our path model again. Couldn't wait to show it to you again. If you were actually creating this data set, what you would do is you would have this vector. There's three dependent variables, so its dimensions would be 3n by 1. The first part of it would be y1. Underneath that, you'd have stacked y2. And underneath that, you'd have Y3 stacked underneath that. Now, to create the design matrix, what you end up doing is you have this matrix here, Y2, that should be X1, and X2. No, I'm right. That should be Y2 and Y3. I had a mistake in there. And X2 are leading to Y1. Y2 is a function of X2 and X1. And Y3 is a function of X2 and X3. You have to create vectors of zeros to create this, and it's a function of these beta coefficients. What the SIR model does is it simultaneously makes a solution for all these, and to create those direct and indirect effects later, you can do that by multiplication as you normally would in path analysis. So it's not like a path analysis software that automatically does this for you, but I wanted to display the idea of how this could be used. Now, when I think about doing things from a seemingly unrelated regression approach, what kind of advantages would it have over what most people do, which is multiple univariate regressions versus trying to incorporate the dependency among the dependent variables? Matter of fact, going about it this way from a path model, it'll give you the same results as many other software will. I've tried it out many things on many different types of designs. The advantages you have with this type of modeling is it's because it's based on generalized least squares, you would assume that it's fairly robust to violations of the normality assumption. And of course, that's with an adequate sample size. And what constitutes an adequate sample size, sometimes we don't know what that is. And that would give it an advantage over the maximum likelihood based approaches to some path models. It has been noted in the literature that if you wanted to get robust standard errors, you could iterate this model and do what's called feasible generalized least squares. Another advantage of this is that it is very flexible. You can see that I can take a Y variable that I'm trying to predict, but I can also stick it in as a predictor variable in some other model. The disadvantage I see with this, and this is something that probably needs some developmental work, is a thing we run into all the time in our regression, so I can't say it's just seemingly unrelated regression, is that these, once we go about this with an OLS solution, those design matrices are assumed to be fixed effects. And so we assume they're measured without error. And so from that whole path model idea, how this might go into structural equation modeling where you have errors along with your variables in the model or your latent variables in the model, I'm not sure how well this will work. But my initial impression is you would probably, in that Q matrix that represents the correlation among the errors, would also have to build in something there that would fit the errors and variables component. Again, I'd like to close with saying I think this is an underutilized technique, but I also understand people go about their business the way they always go about their business. Thank you.